اليوم in shloka number 19 and 20 Lakshmidhar Kaviji tried to present for us how Brahman and Atman are not conditioned by the upadhis and even Sakshi is an upadhi for Atma. So establishing Brahman to be the substratum and that which is superimposed on the substratum can never be affected by the superimposition. So how is it presented? That there is a space on the wall, bhitti bhage samay chitre. So there is a uniform space. On that, there is a chitra, there is a form, not form, there is a picture. And this is depicting chara achara. There is a moving and then there is a non-moving painting. So Swayam Prakashati ji gives us a little color and he fills it up. So he says, chara is like that elephant which is depicted and the achara is the mountain by which the elephant is standing. Both are part of the wall only. But the picture is depicting in such a way that it seems like the elephant is alive and the mountain is in it. But both are walls only. Likewise, the world is depicting jada ajada. The world is showing some things as sentient and something as insentient. But both are kalpita. Both are imagined. Both are superimposed on ajadi, on the Brahman, which is sentient. So Brahman alone is the one that is presenting itself as jada and ajada. That was relating to Brahman, the srishti. Then same idea, but relating to me, meaning this jiva, whose real nature is Atman, and the unreal nature, which we have already seen previously, that I'm not the body, I'm not the mind, I'm not the intellect, I'm not the vikaras, and none of that. But one thing that was left is this Sakshi. Sakshi was very close to this Atman. So that also is taken up in this verse, trying to prove the same point that Sakshi also is jada. And this Sakshi is not the real self. So, Chetyoparaga Rupame. Chetyoparaga related to Chaitanya. It is Chaitanya. So, related to Chaitanya is the kartritva, bhoktritva, etc. So enjoyership, doership. This is formed because of our ego. So the ego is also the jiva's personality. That is sakshita. Sakshita, witnesshood. So this witness of all the activities of the jiva, that witness na tatviki, is not the real reality. See? That is not the absolute nature of the self. Then what is it? It is upalakshana, upalakshanam eva. It is merely a indicator of what? Nistaranga chida ambudhehi, of the ocean which is without any currents, without any waves, without any movement. So it is pointing towards that still consciousness which doesn't modify, which doesn't change, it is ever the same. So when we are able to catch hold of Sakshi, we can appreciate how the self is. But because I am witnesser, at the time I am witnessing, I am a witnesser, it is related to this Chaityoparaga. Because I am related to this Kartrutva Bhoktrutva, therefore I have this Sakshita. Therefore I have this witness. But when I drop it, when I say I am not the witnesser, then I cannot witness also. So that which I am witnessing, I recognize that it is nothing other than the self alone. This explains for us what is my true nature, which is Tvampada, which is my nature as a. Now in 19, Tatpada, in 20, Tvampada. In 21, both Tatpada and Tvampada are one. That is kind of explained. So Tatpada and Tvampada are not too different. Why it is necessary to establish is because this Brahman is not simply a, we should not consider it as an aspect in the world which I have to align to. And when I'm aligned to it, I become realized. And when I'm not aligned to it, I become deluded. It is not like that. Which the nature I see within myself alone is going to be the nature seen in this entire creation. So if I align myself to this nature, but I don't have a recollection of the entire cosmic nature, then what I have aligned myself with is nothing but an aspect of Maya. Therefore, it is important for one to know the unity of the Tatpada and Tvampada. This is explained with this next verse that we will see. So Swayam Prakashitiji connects verse 20 to 21 by saying that the world as it is imagined in Brahman. How is it imagined? Explained in shloka number 19. That both inert sentient, but still it is a superimposition. So just as the world is superimposed, imagined in Brahman, and ahankara dehe Brahman atman, and ego, etc., kartutva, bhoktutva, etc., the jivahood in the self, in the inner core of myself. This superimposition is not the reality. And by the superimposition, Brahman or Atman do not modify. There is no trace of change in Brahman. And in order to explain this idea, is this next shloka that Lakshmidhar Kavi presents. So let's take a look at the shloka. First we'll chant, then we'll see the meaning. Amrutabdhirname jirni मृषा डिंडीरम डिंडीर जन्म भी स्फटिकार्द्रेण मे रागः स्वाप्न संध्याभ्रविभ्रमैः अमृताब्धेर्न मे जीर्णी मृषाडिण्डीरजन्मभिः स्फटिकार्द्रेण मे रागः स्वाप्न संध्याभ्रविभ्रमैः If you, I don't know if in your book you have Amrutabdha, is it da or dha?
It is da, Amrutabdhe.
Okay, if it is dha, it is correct. If it is da, like ta, tha, da, that is incorrect. Ta, tha, da, dha. So
yeah, it is dha.
Dha.
But the next word, the
spatikardre. That R on top has to be pronounced first. So, Sphatikardre name ragaha.
Okay. Sorry, no.
I am pronouncing it incorrectly. Sphatikardre name ragaha. स्फटिकाद्रेर नमे रागः सो द इज वन इट्स नॉट स्फटिकाद्रो
ओके
इट इज नॉट द्रो स्फटिकाद्रेर नमे रागः स्वाप्न संध्या ब्रविभ्रमहि ओके सो द फर्स्ट टू लाइन Which is Amruta Abdhir Nameji. Amruta Abdhi, that word first. Okay? That word Abdhi we know means ocean. An ocean of Amruta. Amrutaha, immortality. So ocean of immortality, ocean of bliss. So Swayam Prakashati ji says, what is this Amrutaha? So Amruta is moksha. And what do we mean by moksha? We mean by moksha is there is no longer this misery of birth and death. So where there is no birth and death, there is absolute bliss. There is absolute joy. And that is why it is Amrutaha. That is why it is immortal. So where one finds no birth, no death, in this absolute nature, which is filled like ocean, it is abundant, it is never ending. This mrusha dindira janmabhihi na jirni. Mrusha means false. Dindira means the foam. Janmabhi, birth. So by the birth of the false foam, there is no jirni, there is no destruction of this ocean. So just metaphorically speaking, from the example, if we take a look, when the ocean waves rises. And then it crashes to the shores, it creates this foam. But when it creates the foam, that doesn't destroy the ocean. Meaning it doesn't destroy the waters of the ocean. The water alone, because of the force, transformed into a foam. And when it recedes, and it goes back, again it becomes the ocean water. So the birth of the foam or the destruction of the foam has no impact on the ocean. This is the example taken. This example is correlated with the Jagat. This example is trying to explain to us how the world works. So, therefore, Amrutabdhehe in the example is ocean, but in our context, this is Brahman alone. So this Brahman, which is of the nature of absolute bliss, of the nature of moksha, in it may mama, mine. So mine means not the jiva but of the Brahman. Mama tyaga bhinna brahmana. So Brahman, which is so close, non-different from the inner self. So that Brahman, which is the all-pervading nature of this entire world, which is me alone, there is no destruction. Na jirni. There is no destruction of it by Mrusha, the false, and then Dindira, we said is a foam, but here the foam is representing of those things that take birth and that die. Janmabhi said. So birth of the foam. So birth of the foam means birth of space. So starting with space, all the elements, so space, air, water, fire, earth, and then all the modifications of these elements. And we see in the world, it has only one nature. And the nature of the world is, it is ever changing. So by saying ever changing, what are we saying? That there is a birth of one and there's a destruction of another. So that continuous cycle of change is ever happening in this world. Even though there is this continuous cycle of change that is happening in this world, by this modification, which is false, by this false modification, me, the Brahman, has no destruction. Me, the Brahman, has no destruction means when the false thing was created, I was still present. I didn't have to change. Brahman didn't have to change when the false thing was created. Likewise, when the false thing was destroyed, the Brahman didn't have to get destroyed because the false thing got destroyed. Because the false is a superimposition on the substrate. Just imagine we are watching a TV and you're watching a James Bond movie. You know how in that movie, every time, They show in the beginning when the names come, they show a hole. And from that, a bullet passes. And then there's a red blood that smears all over. I don't know if you've seen it. So if the bullet were real, we would have to purchase a new TV every single time. Right? Because it breaks the substratum. Because the bullet will pierce the TV. But we know that the bullet is false because it is nothing but light, which is changing, which is turning off and turning on. That is all that is happening. At some place, the light is turning on, and some place, the light is turning off. But it happens so fast, it seems very real. And the second is, the sound effect makes it feel real. If you really want to kill the mood, or if you ever want to overcome the fear of horror movie, you should watch the horror movie without sound effect. Don't watch it with sound effect. You will not be afraid of horror movies at all. Because everything in the horror movie is to do with sound effect. Right? Watch a horror movie just in mute and see how much fun it is. Okay, anyways, the point is the substratum is not affected by the dance of the false. That is tatpada lakshat. Laksha indicated as tatta. So what is that? Brahman. So Brahman is indicated as the Tat. That Brahman is not affected. Having explained this, Swayam Prakashataji says, this is not my thought. This is the thought from Bharati Tirtha, who co-authored with Vidyaranya Swamiji, Panchadashi. So he quotes one shloka from Panchadashi, which comes from Kutastha Deepa Prakaran. So he says, Maya megho jaganniram varshatvesha yathatatha. So Maya megha, this Maya is the clouds. And jagat niram, and the world is the water. And varshati, varshatu, esha, varshatu, it rains. So the clouds of Maya and the water, which is the world, it rains. Just as it rains, even then, yatha, yatha, chidakashasya nohanihi, Nava labha iti sthitihi. Chidakashaha, space. Here, one reference is space, another reference is consciousness. So, when it rains, space has nothing it holds on to. The space doesn't say, I am being filled with water. Although the rain is happening in space, space has no effect at all. So it has no hanihi, there is no destruction of space. Likewise, there is no labha, there is nothing gained by the space. Space doesn't retain the water. Likewise, the consciousness also doesn't retain the jagat, which is presented to us by the Maya. This is in Panchadashi. Now, having explained Tatpada, the next two lines explains Tvampada. What is the Tvam? So, Sphatikardrehe na ragaha. Ragaha, attachment. Na ragaha, there is no attachment. Spatika or Spatika Adreir Adrehi. Adra means mountain and Spatika means crystal mountain. So imagine that there is a crystal mountain. This crystal mountain has no attachment to Swapna Sandhyabhra Vibhramayi. By the delusions caused by the passing of the clouds during the time of Sandhya. So at the time of Sandhya, we find that the color of the sun sometimes is different. Sometimes it is pinkish, sometimes it is golden. But the mountain can present for us different colors. But still, mountain doesn't retain any of the color. And by Spatika Adra, we don't have to really imagine a crystal mountain. We can just even imagine the Himalaya mountain, which is whitish. So as the mountain passes, one may see, as the clouds pass, one may see different colors on the mountain. But did the snow really change? No. Did it touch? Was it attached? No. Na raga. There was no attachment to any of it. So this is the example given. Now, what is the example in connection to us? Or to what it's trying to indicate. So what is this Patikadraha? It is the pure nature. So Spatikadrehe me, mama. So my nature, which is completely pure, my nature, which is of the any blemish, without any blemish, of this nature, there is no effect by Swapna, Swapna Sandhyabhra Vibhramayi. So Swapna means that which is created by ignorance, that which is created because of ego, that which is created because it came in contact with this delusion of desires. Okay. That is indicated by word Swapna, and that is the sun, that is the Sandhya Abhra, that is the evening cloud, because it deludes. It causes us to develop this Vibhrama, delusion of Kartritva, Bhoktritva. So this feeling of enjoyership, doership that one has within them, that is false, and this is imagined because of ignorance on my nature, which is completely pure. But in reality, this pure nature of mine is never attached with such delusions. And if I superimpose that, I must remind myself that I am this crystal mountain, which is never touched by the passing clouds. So again, having explained thus, Swayam Prakashati ji again quotes from Panchadashi, the quotation by Bharati Tirtha. So he says, Ahankara gate chhadyaihi. Ahankara gata icha. Ichha means desires, which is born out of anga, ego. So my ego, which is giving me, these are my desires, this kamana, and the kama is coming from ignorance, that deha vyadhyadi bhihi, and also the sorrows, vyadhi, disease, that are caused to the body. So deha vyadhi, the disease of the body, tatha vrukshadi janma nashaihi va, and likewise the janma, birth, and nasha, destruction of vruksha, vruksha, trees, va chidrupatmani kim bhavet. Any questions? It says, can they ever have an impact on the chit swarupa atma? So atma, which is of the nature of consciousness, how can they ever be touched by ego, the disease of the body, and birth and death, like the vruksha? So they cannot be. Therefore, both tompada and tatpada are completely pure and never touched by any of the upadhi. And both tompada and tatpada are one. In this way, two are explained. Any questions? Is this very simple only? That was not much difficult. Shall we go to the next one then? So then the next shloka says, okay, even though it is established that Brahman is without any modification, nirvikar, still there's an objection, and the objection is there is a vikara of existence. So, though you have established that there is no vikara on Brahman, there is still one vikara, and that is the vikara of existence. What do you mean, vikara of existence? Well, it is simple. Would you say that Brahman or Atman has existence or is existence? Has existence or is existence? And there is just a small difference, has and is, but it has a big difference in meaning. And that is what is being explained with this upcoming verse in 22. So Swayam Prakashiti ji says that I have an objection. When you say there is no vikara for Brahman, what about the vikara of asti? When you say Brahman is, it has to take support of existence. Right? Brahman cannot exist without existence. So by saying Brahman has existence, you are saying Brahman has the vikara of existence. And if you say, no, Brahman doesn't have existence, Brahman doesn't have existence, then you fall into a trap here. And the trap is, if it doesn't have existence, And how can you say Brahman is? That which doesn't have existence, how can you say it is? Like the horn on the rabbit. Rabbits don't have a horn, so they don't exist. Likewise, if you say Brahman has existence, then that which has can modify. And if it modifies, it should not be called as Brahman. And if you say it doesn't have existence, then it is false because it never exists. Now I have caught you, Vedanta, like that. Swayam Prakashiti ji says, so here is the answer. There's a doubt created, and now the solution given by the shloka. Swarupam eva me sattvam. Na tu dharmo na bhastvavat. Madanyasya sato bhavah. Madanyasya sato bhavat. Nahi sa jati rishyate. Swarupam eva me sattvam. Na tu dharmo na bhasvavat. Madanyasya sato bhavat nahi sa jati rishyate. So the gist of the shloka is this, very one liner, simple. Existence is the nature of Atma or Brahma. Existence is not a property of Atman or Brahma. This is what Swayam Prakashiti ji and Lakshmidhar Kavi is trying to present with the shloka. So when I say I have something, that means it is taking support of something for it to exist. But when you don't have it, then it doesn't exist. So what's a good example here? So Swayam Prakashiti ji, he gives an example. He says, here is the idea. You take, let's take this blue curtain. You know, behind the Radha Krishna Murti, there's a blue curtain. This blue curtain, the blueness is the property of the cloth. Correct? The blueness is the property of the cloth. So for the blueness to exist, the cloth has to exist. If you destroy the thread of the cloth, blueness also will be destroyed. Okay? So that means what? Blueness is not its inherent nature. In a similar way, you take a pot. For a pot to exist, clay has to be there. Without clay, pot cannot exist. In a similar way, Brahman or Atman, both, their nature is existence. And by saying nature is existence, it is not dependent on existence to exist. It is not dependent on something else for its existence. It itself has existence, therefore it exists. its very property is existence. And therefore, it is. And because there is nothing other than it, you cannot also give a specificity for it. You cannot specify into some form of classification, like a jati. So let's see the meaning by Swayam Prakash. So first word, me. Me, mama, mine. Mine meaning the tatpada and tompada, both we have to consider. The next three verses, shloka number 22, 23, 24, are going to deal with these three ideas. Do I have existence or am I existence? Do I have consciousness or am I consciousness? And do I have bliss or am I bliss? That's what the three verses are going to be. So all for all three of them, whenever it says me or mama, it is referring to tatpada and tompada. So tatpada and tompada is sattvam, swarupameva. That sattvam, existence, is its nature only. And it is not natu dharmaha. And by saying dharmaha, Swayam Prakash says, I am not dependent on it. Mada ashritaha. So the tat and tvam doesn't need to depend on this existence for it to exist. It can exist independently. And therefore, if you remove existence, nothing in the creation will ever be. But by very fact saying existence, you can never remove existence also. So that which exists always will be. You can never remove it. It is always going to be. It may not stay in one nature. Jagat, as we know, is in one nature, is in one condition. It can change into a different condition. But existence has no nature. Has no quality. Therefore, it can be of any nature in the world. So, then Swayam Prakashataji, he creates this objection. He says, why can't you say that existence is a property on Atma? Why can't you say that it is a dharma? Like how the potness is a dharma for a pot, why can't you say that existence is a property of the pot? So the logic now given behind is this. Just by saying my nature is sattva, my nature is existence, therefore there is nothing other than existence is not enough. I have to give reasoning to explain why I am of this nature. Okay? So he raises this objection that why can't you say that existence be the property of Atma? Like how the potness is the property of the pot. What do you mean potness? Well, when you say potness, you're saying, you're referring it to one pot. This pot, that pot. Right? That is what is potness. So one pot, you keep in one corner. Another pot, you keep it another corner. Which means they can be distinguished from each other. So if you are saying that existence is like that, that there is one existence here, another existence here, another existence here, then it's not possible. Why is that not possible? Because when you say this, there is an apparent understanding that this is limited by this. This has a similar property as that. But that and this are not two same. So by saying whatness, you are limiting the pot's nature to whatever it is, shape and form. Okay. That type of limitedness cannot be found in Atman or Brahman. Because if you limit Atman to just this, then you have to create another Atman of a similar nature. And when you create another Atman of similar nature, you have created a dissection, an end of one Atman to create another. So like that, you have now created so many different Atmans. That doesn't work. By the mere fact that saying there is no modification in Atman, we cannot accept such kind of logic. So therefore, I cannot say that existence is a property in Atman. Kind of following? You have any questions? Let me know.
So there is no example in the world similar to how we explain, like Brahman is existence, because yes, clay and pot.
So Swayam Prakashitiji gives the example, and the example he gives is of space. Space is very closer to Atman. Space, you cannot say this space, that space. Although we say this space and that space, but that is in connection with the upadhi, we say this space and that space. But our understanding is space is space. Space doesn't get broken because of the upadhis. What happens to space? Space gets limited by the upadhi. So therefore, although in context with the upadhi, we say this space or home space or room space or whatever other space. It is in context with that upadhi we are saying. So we are knowing that this space, which is the room space, pot space, home space, all these space are one and the same. But because we are trying to refer to some upadhi, we are using it as for transaction purposes. Here, there is only one Atma. And because there is only one Atma, there is no reason to say this Atma and that Atma. Because Atma is not divided. So that example is the next point. Yeah. Yes, Anitaji.
Dhananjay, I think as you gave the example of space, it can also be compared with the air, because that is also one of the subtlest of the five elements of the creation, from where the creation comes.
Yes, but the best example is the space.
Yes.
Because space doesn't hold anything, whereas air holds odor or fragrance. So you can say that room which is filled with a lot of fragrance, or that room which is filled with all that odor, that is air. That is, it's not space. Space is not holding you.
Doesn't the sound go with the space?
Sound goes with the space, yes.
Yeah, but then the sound could be different.
Yes, but the space is not holding the sound. Space is just allowing the sound to
travel.
Okay, so let's pause here. We analyze a little more next time, because there are some other subtle points to be mentioned. We have only seen the first two lines. Swasvarupame saptam natu dharmoho nabhastovat. So nabhastovat, that is what we just saw, like the space. Now, the other part we need to also look at, but first let's analyze this, and then next week we will analyze the other part. Let's do the prayer and then we can. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Hari Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Hari Om.